This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by the Riverside Cafe, the perfect place for a pre-match pint.
And welcome to the Wednesday Week, the original Sheffield Wednesday podcast. I'm James, and I'm heading up an unchanged lineup for the Wednesday Week this week. Fudge is here. Fudge, whereabouts are you on your happiness barometer?
I'm in the middle. I'm middling. I made a conscious decision to be a lot more upbeat this week because I listened to the last one I was on. I bummed myself out, if I'm honest. So I'm up. I'm happy. I'm all right. I'm in the zone. I'm doing well, and my mood just went up slightly because I like the inclusion of the original Sheffield Wednesday podcast on the intro there. Enjoyed that, Jay.
Very good. Yeah. And Victoria, my dear, are you well?
Hello. I'm sorry, I didn't know what I did.
It's
there.
A little delayed reaction. Right. There. So, a week ago, us three talked about, a hell of a lot of stuff that had gone on last week. Not quite as manic over the last 7 days, but suffice to say, last week when we sat and threw about a few different names about who our new manager is likely to be, there was a name that we didn't discuss that we'd probably, I think it's fair to say, none of us had ever even heard of, who 48 hours later was indeed our new manager. Now, I'm
how would you not heard of him? You support Hertha Berlin?
I don't.
Hertha Berlin.
Hertha. I quite like them because they're based in Berlin and they wear blue and white. I've never been to a game or anything like that. You know, let's not go crazy
same.
Here.
Same
I have. I got really drunk, drank too much Beck's, threw my ring up in the car park. Great day out.
Pardon?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
I went to go and watch Hertha Berlin at the Olympic Stadion. And it was a season where for some reason they were like third in the league, which was mental, and they were playing Bayern Munich, hell of a game to be at, and they served beer on the stands, because, you know, Germany, and sausages everywhere as well, so I consumed far too many beer, far too many a sausage, and just bouffed all over the car park.
Nights like that, Fudge.
Was Jos their manager at the time?
No, this was about, God, it was 11 years ago now. I've still got a Hertha Berlin shirt with Fudge written on the back of it. Hilarious.
Wow. Is that, when you say written on the back, do you mean like printed on the back, or you mean like, you know,
in marker pen?
You got a Sharpie Fudge. And just thought, that'll do.
No, I had it printed on. We went balls out with it, me and my mate Dan. It was our first ever football away day in, across Europe. Since then, we've been everywhere. It was our first one, so we thought we'd mark the occasion with a ridiculous amount of money. But I enjoy it. The fudge is actually written across the bottom because obviously sponsors on the top.
Ah, yes, this is the German way, isn't it? This is the German way.
So, hold on a minute. So, do you have fudge written across your bum?
I don't. I don't have fudge written across my bum. No, I don't. I'm assuming that was aimed at Fudge, but he didn't seem to answer it.
No, he didn't respond to that. I was just going to invite him out.
I was on mute trying to protest my innocence. But look, I see where you're going with this.
Have you got fudge on your bum?
I do have fudge on my bum, or did have fudge on my bum, but in the last 11 years, I've put on a significant amount of timber. So I've got fudge just across my tramp stamp now.
Is it like a new Hugh shirt?
Yeah. I could get one edited and just pull it down at the bottom. See if I saw your mum. This sounds like a your mum gag. No, I did see your mum on Twitter offering to do a better job for him. If she wants to do my Hertha Berlin shirt, now it's relevant, that'd be smashing.
Lovely. I hate to drag this back to football, but, you know, new manager and all that. Had either of you heard of him before last Thursday or Friday?
No, I hadn't. But my other half, for the last God knows how many months, has been saying, oh, we need a Bundesliga manager. We need a Bundesliga manager that's done well and no one really knows him. And then as soon as we sign him, it was a right miserable sod about it. Because I was like, well, that's exactly what you've been asking for, isn't it? So shut moaning, miserable sod. Honestly, he's got the world at his feet, that lad. World at his feet. He's marrying me.
He's born, does he?
Don't know. Honestly, don't know he's born. And he just moaned and moaned and moaned. And then when I pointed out that's all he'd been asking for, he shut up, which is, you know, rightly so.
Well, for me, I was actually very happy about it. And like I said to you, conscious decision, trying to be upbeat. This isn't me putting it on, actually. I think it's exactly... I agree with Al. Before, obviously, he was unhappy about it. I agreed, and I'm pretty sure you probably are the same, James, that a German manager, or a manager that's managed in Germany, you know, for all intents and purposes, is German, is what we needed. And it's exactly what we wanted. And I think what it'll do is bring a different philosophy. Of course, I'm holding out for the David Wagner effect, you know, because we've got better players than what Huddersfield have got. So if we can get a David Wagner with our better players, then I'll be very excited about it. So I for one am behind him, and I hope and I wish him all the luck in the world. I think he's right when he says that this season's over. Let's build on next season. There's obviously an issue with him with what happened at Stuttgart about transfers and director of football and having creative control on who he wants to bring in and whatnot, which sits well with me. You know what I mean? I'm really happy about it, and I really hope it goes well, because I've really to put a Carlos quote. I've put my meat on the fire with this one.
Fudge, but Carlos quotes are now officially banned forevermore. He is dead to us.
Sorry. Okay, sorry, my apologies.
He was seeing another woman behind our back.
Yeah, sorry, my apologies. So yes, I've put my bollocks on the chopping block with it and really gone to town and said, this is what we need. I really hope that it works out for us. I really do.
Okay, well, let's find out a little bit more about our new manager, because you may have seen some tweets over the last couple of days by a freelance German football reporter called Archie Reind-Tutt. And Archie is, well, as near as damn it, an expert in all things German football. So I managed to catch up with Archie a little bit earlier on to find out all about our new manager. So my first question is quite a basic one, really, but the one that was on the lips of many Wednesday fans on Friday when the news kind of came out, which is Jos Lukai. Who is he?
He is a coach who has very much made his name in Germany, even if he is originally from the Netherlands. His family background even goes to Indonesia, in fact, but his dad originally actually had to flee from Indonesia many years ago and settled in the Netherlands, where he met Jos Lukai's mother. And I think actually, speaking to some people who've worked with him in terms of the media, that kind of childhood that he had has kind of influenced the sort of discipline and values that he has as a coach. Now, as a coach in Germany, he has made a reputation of being somebody who can get sides promoted. He's got Borussia Mönchengladbach, a side with fantastic European pedigree, promoted back to the Bundesliga in the late 2000s. If we can call that a decade, then after that, he went and did a magnificent job at Augsburg as well, getting them into the Bundesliga for the first time and keeping them there for two seasons. Before then going on to Hertha Berlin, who he also took back up to the Bundesliga. And then his last stint wasn't so successful, 85 days at Stuttgart. But the Stuttgart and the Augsburg stints are important in terms of when considering Jos Luhukay as a character, because you're looking there at how he fell out with the clubs over the amount of control that he has. He is old school in terms of that way of doing things, or regarded so in Germany, because in England I don't think there's quite as much of a sporting director model that there is in Germany. So I think that the opportunity to have that little bit more control at a club like Sheffield Wednesday and to be able to do things exactly as he wants them will be one of the things that has attracted him to the job.
Obviously, you mentioned about the fact that, you know, he kind of likes that control. What else is he kind of known for in terms of his characteristics, in terms of his management style?
Depends. If you're talking about with the media, then he is somebody who's very much down to earth, not charismatic. I wouldn't expect any press conferences along the lines that you would have seen with Jurgen Klopp, for example, or David Wagner. But I would say that he's somebody who's still very approachable in that sense. As for the way that he deals with his players, he has had the odd skirmishes, perhaps too strong a word. I think the right word is probably to say confrontations, but only with players who are not doing their bit for the team. The team goes over the individual every single time for him. And if he's taking training, I was speaking to a colleague of mine in Germany, a guy called Uwe Bremer, who watched a lot of Luhukay, whether it was in training, matches, you name it. He reports for a big Berlin newspaper out there. And he was saying that in terms of training with Jos Luhukay, if a player makes a mistake, he'll happily stop training to say, right, that wasn't right. What you should be doing here is this. That's the solution. Try this again. And okay, I think like most coaches, it can get a little bit louder if that instruction then is not followed. But he's very much about hands-on in training. I think you hear a lot more in terms of maybe over in England of managers, not coaches. I think that Jos Luhukay certainly is a coach, but who likes to enjoy the managerial responsibilities with that as well.
I've heard quite a lot about his approach to discipline and him being quite strict. In fact, there's this thing knocking about the fact that his nickname is the Little General. Is that his nickname?
Yes.
How kind of accurate is that then about him being super strict?
It's funny. There's been a little debate on Twitter amongst a thread or so that I've been involved in, and on the one side there's people going, this is spot on, but I think that kind of dictatorial sense of it is perhaps a little stretched. I would say, I mean, it's not quite Felix Magath at Fulham. I don't think you're going to see anything quite like that, but I think that discipline is very much key to the way that he works, so that is a very important tenet for him. And carrying that forward, I think the Little General is perhaps a little harsh, but he left both Stuttgart and Augsburg because he wasn't getting the control that he was wanting, and he needs to work without compromise. I don't think he enjoys getting challenged. It's his way or the highway, to use a cliche or two. So I think that he's somebody that maybe is a little bit different behind closed doors, but I think that ultimately, I think the Little Generals are probably a little bit too far in terms of a nickname.
Okay, well, I think as Wednesday fans, we'll certainly come up with some kind of nickname for him after we get to kind of grips with who he is, because that's something that we tend to do.
If, if you want nicknames or slogans, at Augsburg, I remember there was a fan who once had a shirt on. It was around 2012 that he was in charge of Augsburg, and on the back of it, what with the American election slogan with Barack Obama, they had "Yes, we can" on the back of their shirts. So that was one. And then I remember also that was referred to by some Hertha supporters, and indeed by this German colleague that I mentioned, Uwe Bremer, because he didn't have quite the same charisma as Jennifer Lopez or J-Lo. He was nicknamed J-Lou. So I don't know whether that will be catching on around
Love
Wednesday
them.
Fans at all. I'm sure that he'll carve out something. I mean, he's got a particularly striking moustache, as I'm sure all Wednesday fans have seen already. So there's certainly enough to work with there, that's for sure.
I think one of the things that Wednesday fans have kind of latched onto with what people have been saying about his style is with regard to some of the, you know, kind of inverted commas big name players that we've got at the club for the level that we're at, players who are on quite high wages. And if you ask some fans, they would say that maybe haven't really been achieving this season, not really been pulling their weight. From what you know of him, do you think that he's the guy that can get the best out of these players?
He doesn't do special treatment for players. That doesn't happen with him. Everyone will be put on the same keel. So my knowledge of the Wednesday squad is not as great as yours. But for example, if Jordan Rhodes would be expecting, and I say his name just by picking one of your strikers that you have, if he was expecting to get any sort of special treatment, then Jos Luhukay won't afford that to him. So I think that he certainly experience is something that he's not lacking at all. And he will have been through numerous experiences and has been in terms of the Bundesliga. And with respect to Wednesday, I think that the challenge, for example, of coaching a club like Borussia Mönchengladbach with the history that they have is just that notch above. So I don't think he'll be daunted in terms of the size of the club or indeed the challenge. That he's worked at clubs with high attendances that you have at Hillsborough every week and that sort of expectation. But I think that maybe adjusting to a new country will be something. I think that David Wagner, for example, has shown that kind of you need to have championship know-how. That's being a bit of a myth, really. So I think that if you have your own ideas and then are able to implement them successfully, then I don't see why he can't be successful. I've had one, you won't be very surprised at this, I've had one Sheffield United fan saying to me that Wednesday need to look at how far they are above the relegation zone. I'm sure you're shocked by that, but I honestly can't see that being too much of a problem. I think that, yeah, Wednesday should survive quite comfortably.
From a tactical point of view, quite a few of us Wednesday fans became a little frustrated under Carlos with his kind of fierce commitment to playing a 4-4-2 formation that felt like it wasn't really working for us. Does Jos have a preference, or can we expect some more flexibility from him in terms of what formation his team set up with?
He's not the sort of coach who's going to say, right, we need to learn 4-5-6 formations here. He's not part of this new wave of coaches that you have in Germany, the likes of Julian Nagelsmann and Domenico Tedesco, who are kind of regarded as tactics. I was about to say the German word, which wouldn't be helpful to anyone. regarded as tactics foxes, as it kind of directly translates. Luhukay isn't that. He is somebody who will try and mould his style of play, I think, to the squad. He'll look at the options that he's had and then try and form a system, not necessarily trying to put square pegs into round holes at all. So I would say maybe that's an encouraging element for Wednesday fans, but whether you should necessarily expect the most expansive football, I wouldn't say that. That's something that's necessarily been too forthcoming with him, but I think that his ability to adapt at least the squad in the first instance, where he's run into trouble before, has been actually less the style of play, but more his style of management wearing off, I think, after a while. because he's not able to, I think, refresh and renew. And I think discipline is a very good starting point with anything, but you have to be, I think, even more innovative, and particularly to capture the imaginations and keep the interest of professional footballers these days. I think that you do need to be that little bit creative in the way you go about your business. So I think that it will work for Lu Hakai. At some point, his English in the press conference was better than I expected. But at the same time, I think with any coach, it's a question of for how long.
I was going to ask about that, actually, because obviously when Carlos came to Wednesday, he arrived with a bit of a reputation as being something of a journeyman, but it ended up being the longest that he'd stayed at any club by some distance. Do you think that Jos could be a long-term appointment, or do you think that this is likely to be a short-term fix for Sheffield Wednesday?
I guess in terms of the length of time that Carvajal was there and what Wednesday have done in the past few seasons kind of probably changes the expectations because of what has been achieved by the club in terms of getting into the playoffs and coming so close recently. So I don't know whether Lu Hakai will necessarily have the same patience from above. You know the Wednesday board better than I do. But I think that given the tag that he has of being a promotion expert, which is true, albeit in the Bundesliga, but I don't think that's necessarily a but. I think that those are still very difficult challenges, particularly with the expectations he's had to work with in terms of clubs expecting promotion directly back to the Bundesliga. So if anything, those parameters have been a little bit more difficult to work with. But I would still think that this appointment, bearing that tag in mind, I think it's been made as much to the short term. Of course, there can't be an expectation for him to get Wednesday promoted this season. I think, what is it, you're on 30 points and the playoffs are currently 43 at the moment. I think 13 points and a 13-point gap in 20 games is far too much to make up. But it's certainly with an eye to next season. I'll be interested to see, or what will be interesting for me is actually how much control he's given in terms of the transfer policy of Wednesday in the summer.
Just on that point, obviously we're in a kind of a situation with financial fair play here where things were a little tight in terms of what we've got to spend. What's his kind of record like when it comes to transfers and to spending money?
I think that there's been a debate about how good he is about developing younger players. He wanted to bring in the whole sticking point of him staying at Stuttgart, for example, was that he wasn't able to bring in the players that he wanted to bring in, and was somewhat pushed by the sporting director to try and work with some of the younger talent. But on the other hand, he brought through or helped to bring through at Hertha Berlin a guy called John Anthony Brooks, who was a US international, moved for 20 million euros to Wolfsburg in the summer. And all of the way he brought him through was interesting. Every time he seemed to make a mistake early on in the game, he'd hook him off. So that's another kind of side issue about the way he manages as such. But I think that he's somebody who has proven himself in being able to work under tight budgets before. It's not like Hertha Berlin, for example, or indeed Augsburg. Augsburg in particular did not have massive amounts of money to spend. They were among the lowest spenders in the Bundesliga after he did get them up. So I think that sort of experience will also have been attractive to Wednesday in terms of the players that he was able to bring in, and perhaps not with the greatest expectations. I think there are some, in terms of the championship level, there are some big names in that Wednesday squad. I wouldn't necessarily expect kind of similar big names under Lu Hakai to come in. But I wouldn't necessarily underestimate his signings. But it of course depends who he signs. I can't prophesize as to who will come in. One Berlin journalist had asked me about the possibility of a centre back called Sebastian Langkamp coming over from Hertha Berlin, but I don't know anything more on that.
obviously he's very much in at the deep end. His first game managing Wednesday being the Steel City Derby at Bramall Lane. Obviously he's kind of got experience of Derby games before in Berlin and other clubs that he's been at. But there's been a bit of debate among Wednesday fans as to whether or not this is a good first game or probably the worst possible first game for him. How do you think he'll kind of deal with the pressure that comes with that being the first chance that Wednesday fans have got to kind of see what he can do?
I don't think the pressure will be a problem for him, but I don't think also that he's had probably quite as big a game in terms of quite as big a derby game. I think that this as a derby fixture is bigger than what he would have experienced in Germany, bigger than Hertha Berlin against Union Berlin, even though that hadn't happened in a while. I think the history that runs deeper in terms of with United and Wednesday is that little bit more special. But as we were saying, I think there is still a wealth of experience that he's had in several hundred games of management that this is nothing new to him that he will be experiencing. I think it's a little bit of a free hit so long as you don't lose by a couple of goals, and then the pressure is kind of ratcheted up immediately. But I'm sure you'll just want a performance, but as much as anything, you just want the result. So I think he's more than capable of delivering on that front, but let's wait and see. I don't think it'll be too much of a culture shock to him.
Okay, we're not greedy Wednesday fans. We'll just settle for a nice 4-0 win. That'll be fine. final question for me.
You're not the first Wednesday fan to say that.
The most important question, really, just how do we say his name? Because I've been saying Jos Lukai. How near is that? How close is that?
It's pretty good. Jos Luhakai.
Luhakai.
The end bit is Kai, and then everything before is kind of open to interpretation, I guess. But yes, that is how his name was pronounced in Germany. I've never heard him say it himself, but I guess particularly because he spent the majority of his he spent the entirety of his coaching career in Germany. I think that has almost led to a kind of Germanized pronunciation of his name that little bit more, but it's similar that there are similarities with Dutch to German as well. So yes, I would say go with Jos Luhakai.
Luhakai. It will be interesting to hear how it comes out once it's kind of been through Sheffield and quite what we do with his name. Archie, thank you very much. Thank you for your time today. Much appreciated. Hopefully the start of a brilliant working relationship between Jos Luhakai and Sheffield Wednesday.
Thanks a lot. And yes, I'll be watching with some intrigue to see how he gets on. And I know that a few colleagues in Berlin are also watching very closely as well.
So a big thank you to Archie for his time earlier on today. Some really interesting stuff in there, and take from it what you will. But it really sounds to me like this guy is ticking a lot of the boxes that we've kind of been complaining about for a while. You know, in terms of discipline, in terms of a lot of people complained about Carlos seemingly having kind of favorite players and maybe going easy on some players because they were kind of in his club. This guy, none of that. I'm quite looking forward to it. What I do really like is the fact that obviously he's done a few interviews with the media this week, and he's not really been drawn in terms of what formation he's looking at, what style of football he's looking at with us. And the reason that I like that is because Sheffield United on Friday night will have absolutely no idea what kind of team they're lining up against. They won't know what kind of football we're going to play.
Well, they will, because they'll know exactly what 11 we've got available, won't they? And they know that they're all bloody shite. That's the problem.
Well, that's the nice positive attitude that we're looking for, isn't it, Vic? my point is, like, we have no idea what kind of tactics we're going to play, whether or not we're going to go back to a high-pressing game, whether or not we're going to be a counter-tracking team, whether or not we're going to sit back. We just don't know. So if we don't know, there's no way that Sheffield United can know, and that makes it very difficult to plan for. Yeah, obviously, you know, we're limited in terms of the players that are available to us, but, you know, exactly how they will line up and what they will do is a bit of a mystery, and I like that.
I have to say though, you know, like the fact that is he a bit Dutch? Is he really Dutch but managed in Germany? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, he's Dutch.
Yeah, not just a bit.
He's not just you know a bit Dutch, you know. You like, you know, look, Glenn Leuven's a bit Dutch, but no, Jos is entirely 100% Dutch, right through from
so
top
I'm,
to bottom.
I am hoping, on behalf of our good Lord Hillsborough, who cannot be with us this evening, God rest his soul, that maybe, just maybe, he might get the best out of a certain centre forward. Who, let's be honest, guys, like, I know you two aren't his biggest fans and whatever else, but how good would it be if he scored at Bramall Lane? How good would that be? Like, it'd just be a kick in the face.
What's that going to do with him being Dutch?
The only pleasure I would get out of it.
Well, I just think you might be able to talk to him a bit better. He's Austrian, he's Dutch. It's very similar, isn't it?
Well, he's Austrian, Kosovan, and something else. And anyway, he's not going to score. Forget that. That's silly talk.
Yeah, but let's be honest. He might be a bit Dutch because he's everything else, isn't he? So he might be Dutch. He might next year he might play for Dutch.
Anyway, we're not spending this podcast talking about Ati Niuiu. Next.
Yes, the German mentality. German football, very excited about it. I love his optimism because I think it was we discussed last week, didn't we, about anybody who thinks that we can still make the playoffs is mental. But the league is tight, and he seems to think we can sneak in. You know what? I'm a believer. Why not? Glass half full. Different kind of Dan Fudge this half of the season. It's happening. New year, new me. We're going to the playoffs. We're going to Wembley again, kids. Pack your bags. Get your hotels booked.
You're scaring me a little bit now. this is a bit weird. You've gone from being miserable, Dan Fudge, to being. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not accusing you or anything. But are you on drugs tonight?
I've just got Yorkshire tea in at work.
Oh, right, okay.
Smacked up on
Yorkshire tea with Southern Air. It's a lethal combination. I think it was mostly Mr. Chansiri, wasn't it, that was talking about he thinks that we can still make it in the playoffs. I think Jos was quite non-committal in terms of what his target is, other than he wants to be successful. From what I've seen of him so far, unless he's deliberately playing his cards close to his chest because of the game on Friday, he seems to be incredibly good at answering questions without answering questions. And I quite, you know, I always respect people that manage to do that, because he talked for whatever it was, half an hour at the press conference earlier in the week, but didn't really say anything, which is quite a skill in itself, isn't it?
Well, neither of them did they really? Nobody really answered a question. And I think the more questions were asked, the more Mr. Chansiri looked really angry at the fact that questions were being asked at a press conference. It was a very odd situation. One of my friends texted me, because I couldn't get online, one of my friends texted me saying, are you watching this? It's the perfect advert for broken English. And then when I watched it back, I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. This beats Carlos hands down. But yeah, nobody answered a question.
It was all a bit cards close to the chest and a bit, you just wait and see, kids. You wait and see. It all might happen. You never know.
I mean, genuine, straightforward question here, right? Do you think he's the right choice for us?
I think he's the right choice out of what was available for us. Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, you look down that list and some of them made me just wince at the thought of them coming into us. Like, it just, we even talked about Paul Lambert last week, and actually, like, you know, we're all going, oh, yeah, he'll probably be all right. He's probably what we need and whatever else. But actually, you know, everyone's saying they haven't heard of Lukai. Is it James? Has you learned on your little recording there? Lukai. Yeah. So, Lukai. So, like, everyone's saying, oh, I've not heard of him. But actually, he's managed in the German Premier League, like, and he's done bloody well at it. So, you know, fairness to Chansiri, he's got his checkbook out and he's chucked it again, like, across Europe, but to a good manager by the sounds of it.
I love it. I like that it's going to bring a breath of fresh air. And to be fair, Carlos has done that as well. He came from nowhere. And like I said, we've all said thanks for the memories. We've moved on.
Whether you're celebrating a birthday, a wedding or anniversary, maybe you've passed your driving test or you've landed a new job. Well, whatever your reason for a party, the Riverside Cafe is the perfect location on Catch Bar Lane overlooking Hillsborough Stadium. To inquire about hiring us for your function, call 07989 856 054 or 011423261.
Right, so another game, and another game without any goals. Carlisle on Saturday. I mean, we probably should have known that it had got 0-0 written all over it with everything that had been going on. But I think fair to say it was a bit of a disappointment, wasn't it, this one?
Well, like you said, it was completely expected, wasn't it? So you can't really... That's like knowing that you've asked for a pair of socks at Christmas and getting a pair of socks at Christmas. You know, you can't be too disappointed. You know what you're going to get. It's going to be pretty crap. It was always going to be a pretty bog-standard team out against another bog-standard team. We should have done better. We all know we should have. But that's also the arrogance that creeps in when you're a Sheffield Wednesday fan. You know, we think we should win it, but actually when we got out there, we shouldn't have really. You know, it was probably a fair result. I only listened to it. I didn't go. But I got a migraine halfway through, which says it all, really. And it wasn't through excitement.
I positives, didn't concede. I'll take that. You know what I mean? Given the way we've hemorrhaged goals against Burton, for example, you know, I'll take it that we didn't concede, and it'll be a great confidence boost for the goalie and for the centre-backs and all that. But apart from that, that's a long way to go, isn't it? And, you know, my biggest concern about Carlisle, about through it all, is why do they have Geordie accents? They're wrong side of the country.
What, they're far north. I'm trying to think where is it extreme northwest?
I went to the lakes recently. It's north of the lakes, isn't it? Because it's as you keep going up the motorway towards the lakes, it keeps saying Carlisle 100 miles, Carlisle 80 miles, and that is the longest drive in the world up to the lake. So Christ knows what it's like to drive to Carlisle for a 0-0 draw. But yeah, I noticed when I went to the lakes, Fudge, everyone had a Geordie accent. It was very, very strange. Oh, like a soft Geordie accent. I loved the accent. It was nice, but it was very odd.
I didn't go to the game either. I did get a report back from my mate who said that Liam Palmer was all right. Morgan Fox needs to never play football ever again, which I think a few of us have said a few times of late. And Ross Wallace is still in a kind of a situation where really needs to do some more work because it's not really working with where he's playing at the moment. So actually probably nothing really changed from the game before, really. So
I guess he had a shot, didn't he? Because on the radio, it said like he had a shot and it was like, is it going to be a Ross Wallace shot from 2 years ago that we're all expecting? And then they were like, no. And I thought, well, that just sums it all up, doesn't it? That is it going to be what happened 2 years ago? No, it's not, because it's gone a year too long. You know, bless him, he tries his heart out. He gives it a good go, but he's not good enough. He's a year too long, like a lot of the squad.
There's still a chance for him to turn it around. You know, he might really suit whatever system we're going to play under the new manager. I don't think you can write him off yet.
No, I really, really hope he does. I really hope he does, because I've always rated Wallace, really have. And there's a lad that sits behind me that hates him, and we get in a lot of arguments about it. But I've always rated him. I think he does try. And I'd love to see him come good again. Absolutely love it. And like I said earlier, you know, that fresh sort of European football blood, maybe that is what he plays to. And, you know, you can't fault him. He's played at some big clubs in his career. Maybe this is his chance now to see out the end of the season and end it on a good high and see, you know, if he ends it on a really good high, give him another year. If he doesn't, sorry, Ross. Like, thanks.
Cut loose. Just like that.
So that's kind of like...
That's how I treat all my men, Fudge, you would know.
So it brings us to the end of the Lee Bullen era, where, what, yeah, four games altogether that he had in charge, one win, one draw, two defeats. Not the best record, but if we kind of package together the Bullen and the Carlos era as one, and kind of say, well, that's it, you know, that we put that era to bed, we've got a new era that starts... Starts this week, starts this Friday, and we need it, don't we? Because I think it's the way that we're playing has become tired. Everything about watching Wednesday's become tired at the moment, and we're just really ready for that kind of that refresh and some new ideas and some new blood. Which brings me on to the subject of youth, because we have recalled a couple of our younger players from their loan spells elsewhere. And we heard in one of his first interviews earlier this week that Jos has included some of the younger players, some of the academy players, in the first team training since he's come in. Maybe a bit of indication that some of them may have a role to play, maybe in the next few games, and maybe as we go through this period where we've got a lot of injuries, that some of the younger players could get at least a place on the bench or maybe even some time on the pitch. What do you think about this? Do you think it's a good call? Do you think we're crying out for some kind of a younger blood to come in?
I found that quite a shocking fact, in the fact that it's shocking now, because I know, like, when I was involved in Wednesday, like, don't get me wrong, like, a long time ago now, nearly 10 years ago, and before that, when I was involved with the academy lad, like, a lot of the academy players trained with the first team. It was pretty much the norm. Like, three or four every single day would train with the first team. And I think it's quite surprising that it's a big deal all of a sudden that he's training the young kids with the first team, because I think if they're in that development squad, they're in it for a reason. It's to be developed. I think it's quite shocking, and I think that maybe says a lot about football now, maybe says a lot about Carlos's style of football, but the fact that they haven't been training and that it's like this new news that, oh my God, the under-23s are training with the first team, I think that's quite surprising, really.
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know why they've created such a division of these lads are all right. You know, these lads are going to get all the guts, all the glory. You're going to Port Vale on loan. You know what I mean? It seems weird. But recalling them back and then ending their loan, I find a little harsh, if I'm honest, because I think any player in the early stage of his career needs to get, you know, football and play football and be part of a team and be around something. And I think the loan system that's one of the best things about it. To recall them back to the squad, from what the outside looking in, the perception to me is that they've recalled them from their respective loans is for backup, really. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to get
on
the bench,
we are
lads,
short
or
on numbers,
one of
the
two
we?
Might. We are short on numbers, I get that. But it just, and that's, you know, it's just, this is where the loan system can sometimes bite you in the backside, because it's not the best thing for the players. Do you know what I mean? Because, hey, listen, you might get on the bench this Saturday, so I'm going to pull you from being a big fish in a little pond playing for Boreham Wood, you know what I mean, to all of a sudden maybe getting on the bench for Wednesday against the Blades. Do you know what I mean? I get it, and I understand the necessity of it. I just think it's a little harsh on the lads.
It's like James just said there, they are a backup to our backup, aren't they? That's the thing. Like, we've got nobody else. You might as well put me on the bench. Like, there's nobody else there. Our full first team now are our backup first team, in theory. And he's got to look to the youth team. And I think that's probably something quite refreshing about what we're going to do moving forward, is that if we do need to do that, let's not go out and get 11 Irby Emanuelsons on loan. Let's look at our youth team and our youth setup, and we've got some good players. Because you saw, I can't think what kid it was now. Is it St. Clair? Everyone went berserk when we called him back. Their fans.
Yeah, he was at Gillingham, wasn't he? Sean Clair, and he'd been.
Yeah, that's it, Gillingham.
By all accounts, playing really, really well. There's an element to this as well, which could be, you know, new manager comes in. We know from what we've heard about him that he's quite headstrong, is Jos. He's got his way of doing things. And he might have said, right, I want every player that's contracted to this club here. I want to see them and decide whether or not I think they're part of our plans for the rest of this season. And, you know, that could well have played a part in this, that he wants to have a look at all the players, doesn't matter what their age is, before deciding whether or not he's going to send them back out on loan or whether or not they're going to be involved in the first team. And that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, next thing on my running order, and I mean, this is an interesting one. It kind of reared its head a couple of weeks ago. It's the subject of season ticket refunds.
Yes.
Now, this all came to light, didn't it? On Christmas Eve is where this whole kind of thing started. I'm going to call it a saga. This whole kind of saga started with the rather unusual Chairman 3AM website statement after a box of Belgian Blue. And that kind of mentioned the fact that some fans had asked for refunds. And in that statement, it went on to kind of say that any fan that doesn't want to be at Hillsborough. He doesn't want to force people to be there against their will. So, of course, he'll give a refund to anyone with conditions. It's kind of gone on from there a little bit, whereby there was this kind of two-day window where people could submit their interest in getting a refund. And then the news today that's come out is that the conditions that go with getting a refund are basically that you get a pretty much a lifetime ban from ever having another season ticket or club membership.
I have them here. If you want me to read them out,
Go for it.
There are six main points. So I've got accrued TPP points and Wednesday card points, being your season ticket, will be forfeited, which is a big one for me. Very hard line. I enjoy it. While you can attend Hillsborough on a match by match basis, future season tickets or club membership applications. So you're not allowed a season ticket after. The value of your refund will be calculated based on the remaining 10 games of the 17-18 season. For example, if your season ticket was priced at £230, you'll receive £100. You'll receive a cheque for the refund, which will be collected upon the return of your season ticket. If you have paid via the finance option, you should contact V12 Retail Finance and request documentation that shows your account has been settled in full. If your purchase was a 3-year season ticket, your final year will also be refunded. I think that's very hardline from Chancery. I quite like it. He's gone from being this nice guy that's perceived as a bit of a pushover by some of our fans to sacking the manager and then saying, well, if you want money back on your season ticket, you don't come back here with another one. I quite like it. What do you reckon?
I think, do you know what, right? If he'd have come out and said, yeah, I'll refund you, come back next season, tatty bye, off you go, I'd have been pretty pissed off as somebody who's got a 3-year season ticket. I've still got another year and this year and another year left. I'd be pretty annoyed if I've got to sit through this crap and someone can go away, get a refund, get a bit of a January bonus and come back next year when it's all nice and airy. Like, no, if you're going to give it up, you give it up. We've said it, and I said it last week, and I said it on TalkSport, and we've said it a few times. Like, if you buy a season ticket, you don't buy it to watch us win 1-0 every week or draw 1-1 every week. Yeah, we'll be safe. Yeah, we might get in the playoffs, but it's not an exciting thing to watch. It just gets boring. And after 10 years of it, you'll be bored. So if you don't want to stick it out when it's bad, you can't be there when it's good. It's like, you know, I think it's very, very fair.
All right. Do you want my rant on this?
Go on. Have you got like a whole speech prepared for it, Jay?
I've got a whole speech prepared for it. I hate it, right? I hate everything about it. And it seems that there is kind of a majority of fans now who are backing the owner's stance on this, and it sounds like you two kind of go along with it as well. Just none of this sits right with me, if I'm honest. I haven't liked anything through the whole process. So I don't like that there were fans that asked for refunds. I don't like that Mr. Chancery publicised that there were fans that asked for refunds. I don't like that he invited others to apply for a refund. I don't like that others did apply for a refund. And I don't like that we're going to be banning fans from having a season ticket again. I just don't see who wins out of it all. And the thing that kind of gets me most, that I'm most disappointed about, is that we've just appointed a new manager, right? It's the start of a new era, and what a start it is. We've got Sheffield United away on Friday night, and that is all we should be talking about right now. That's the only thing that should matter at the moment. We should be trying to unite our fan base, not put kind of more divisions in there. And I kind of get that it's kind of a parting shot by him, isn't it, at fans that want to jump ship at the first sign of trouble. But like, with a new manager in place, with hopefully new signings to come in as well, surely what we should be trying to do at the moment is try and re-engage fans that have fallen out of love with it a bit and get them back at Hillsborough for the Cardiff match, rather than telling them, oh, well, don't bother coming back. It's just, it doesn't sit right with me. I don't like any of it. I just don't like it. I've seen people saying it's fans getting what they deserve, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe it is a fair condition in the circumstances, but I just hate that what it's done is it's caused division in our fan base when we need the opposite of that. We need unity and we need togetherness. And I hate it. I just hate the whole thing. And I don't see how anyone benefits, and I don't see how anyone comes out of it looking good.
Well, that's part and parcel of what Vic was saying. I mean, we know that the whole offering of refunds and season ticket and all that you said, it was wrong. And we discussed that in length before. I think once we've got to this point where we'll go, this is happening, I think he's dealt with it very well. And like you said, James, there's an argument there for, yes, we do need to unite the fans. Yes, we are at the start of a new era. Do we want this negative contingent of these people who are happy to get their season tickets refunded? Do we want them at Hillsborough? Do you know what I mean? And that's a conversation to be had.
But why is football so much different to this? So if you regularly do your shopping at Topman, and you buy a new coat from them, and you get it home, and you actually decide you don't like it, you take it back, and they go, well, that's fine, we'll give you a refund, but you're not allowed to buy any more coats from us. Like, that wouldn't happen. What they do is they're like, well, yeah, we'll give you a refund, and you know, they would then maybe contact you, you know, a few months down the line or something to say, we've got some new coats out. Do you want to come and have a look at those and see whether or not you like those? That's not the best example that I can think of. But in any normal customer service situation, when someone comes with a complaint about the product, what you actually find is that people do their best to try and engage them and try and, you know, win them over and get them on side and hopefully, you know, not lose their custom in the future rather than just kind of slamming the door in the face on the way out.
I get that. I get that, but football is different. Now, it's like, you know, the example used, I understand, don't get me wrong, and, you know, Topshop will probably go, hey, sorry about not getting it right, here's 10% off or whatever they might do. But then there's also those customers, let's say, take it for a restaurant perspective. If you come into a restaurant and you don't like the product, they would say, oh my God, I'm so sorry about that. They'd apologise, they'll probably give you a refund, they'll invite you to come back next time, yada, yada, yada. But if you had a customer in your restaurant shouting and kicking off and then grabbing the table next to them saying, this is rubbish in here, we're not going to come back in here again, are we? What about you over there on table 22? Let's start a bit, you know, we don't want to come in here. I'm going to go straight online and moan about it. I'm going to tweet the restaurant manager and all the staff. Do you want them as part of your restaurant?
Or if they'd eaten three quarters of the meal already as well.
But do you know what I mean? You're making an assumption there, aren't you, that all the people that have asked for a refund are like that?
I think it's an educated stretch. I don't think it's... I think they are like that, yeah. I think there might be people that are sweeping generalisation.
That for whatever reason, you know, their personal circumstances, that they go, well, do you know what, actually, I could do with, you know, maybe something's happened within their family, and they thought, well, if there's an offer of a refund, I'm going to take it, because, you know, I've got other priorities for the next few months or something. But obviously, you know, they get this kind of quite, is it fair to say, slightly aggressive letter, kind of saying, well, you've got to give up this, you've got to give that, you've got to give up the other. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they are all.
It's not thousands of pounds, though, is it? That's the thing.
I've seen very few people who've been vocal on Twitter saying, I'm going to take the refund and I want out and I don't like this and I don't like this and everyone else should do it. I've not seen many people doing that.
I've not seen one yet, if I'm honest. I've not seen.
And I imagine that we're probably talking about tiny numbers. I think we're talking about, you know, handfuls of people. Yeah. If that, and it seems ridiculous that, you know, so much of our fan base is engaged in a conversation at the moment about something that affects so few people. And I guess that kind of brings me back to my point, which is that, you know, why are we talking about this in the build-up to, you know, a massive, massive game, but also, you know, against all the odds, it's ended up being quite an exciting build-up to the game because we've got a new manager who's got new tactics and he's got no bloody players to play those tactics, but, you know, he's got new ideas and stuff. It might just be a brilliant Friday night, and yet we're not talking about it. That all I've really seen people talking about today on Twitter is this season ticket thing again.
Well, that's what I said last week, though. I think at the time, like, I think Chancery listened too much. I think he listened too much to a tiny minority of fans that wanted a refund and stomped the feet. And I think he's listened and he said, okay, if you want one, you can have one. And actually, he should have just ignored it. Like, but I don't think that's the kind of guy he is. And I said that last week. I think he's the kind of guy that would go, okay, fair enough, you want one. Fine, let's look at it. And I think, actually, had we have not addressed that question at all, we'd have been in a lot better place, because one, it was going to put off potential managers, which, you know, luckily we've got someone in who looks like a decent enough manager, but it could have really put off people. Like, would you want to go to a company that was refunding its customers left, right and centre if it wanted to? No, it looks like a company that's going to go down the shitter, doesn't it? So you wouldn't want to move there for a job if all you can see is that they're offering customers all their money back. Like, and they're not going to, in theory, 20,000 people might not turn up the next week. Would you want to come as a manager? So no, it shouldn't have been mentioned then. And therefore it shouldn't be mentioned now. But the fact is, he's addressed it and he's done what that minority of fans asked him to do. And unfortunately, sometimes that minority of fans outshout the happy clappers, if you like, that we apparently are. They do, because they're the ones that will be going on and on and on. And we just sit there and go, well, this is fine. This is all right. You know, we've seen worse. We've been there in 1999. And that's how it's gone. But he's listened too quickly and jumped too quickly on it. But I think now he's addressed it. And I think, like, let bygones be bygones. If you want a refund, you take a refund. You either pay on a match-by-match basis or you don't come back. Like, that's you know, you've had half the season already. If that's what you want, that's what you want. And it's 100 quid. It's not vast amounts of thousands and thousands of pounds that you've invested. If you want your 100 quid back, that's fine, if that's what you're willing to give up. But, you know, it shouldn't have been addressed in the first place. Whoever advised that was completely wrong.
I think you're right.
This kind of rolls nicely into what you mentioned earlier on, Fudge, in terms of the fans forum, which is taking place on Thursday. And we don't know a massive amount about this. It kind of came a little bit out of the blue. All we kind of know is what was said on the official website about it, which is that it's to kind of discuss the financial model of the club moving forward, and Mr. Chansiri wanting fans' input on that. And what it kind of seems to be sort of saying is, do fans want cheaper prices, which means less investment in players, or do they want to continue paying current prices or potentially paying a little bit more in order to fund the next wave of players that we bring into the club? And I'm kind of connecting a few dots there, because I don't think the website explicitly said that, but that's kind of the impression that you get. And obviously I've from the last couple of steering group meetings that I've been at, where Mr. Chansiri has kind of made these hints about the fact that, well, you know, we can go to a policy of going back to charging 25 quid for tickets for the game, but it will mean that we've got to play youth players and we're not bringing in, you know, kind of experienced players that add something to our squad. I don't really know what to ask you about it, because I don't want to go as far as asking you whereabouts you stand on that particular issue, because I think everyone's kind of got their opinions on that, unless you want to talk about it. But do you think it's a good move that the club are getting fans involved in that conversation, or do you think, you know, Mr. Chansiri as the owner should just make his mind up on his policy and get on with it?
I think there's two sides to that. I think, yes, he should listen to the fans to an extent, but I think Vic's right. I think he's listened to us a bit too much. I mean, like a whinge, us Yorkshire folk. So, you know, I kind of want him to... I want to see what he does when he runs a business. Do you know what I mean? I kind of want to see that side of him. We've seen glimpses of it now with him dismissing Carlos and the way he kept him on, and we've seen glimpses with the way he's handled this whole debacle we're talking about already. But, you know, I kind of want to go, yeah, thanks for your input, but I've got millions of pounds. Leave me alone and watch me go, please. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that this is maybe kind of off the back of the clear failure of the Club 1867 scheme? And this is his kind of, you know, almost his ultimatum, which is, you know, either you're going to have to put some more money in somehow, or we can't continue with the current financial model. And do you think fans will go with that or not?
I think we're skint. I think we're skint as an area. I think somebody wrote down that we are 39 out of 40 in terms of the stuff. I can't remember the stat, but it was really interesting. And I think that what we do need, there needs to be a branch. There needs to be something extended to the people of Yorkshire specifically, where they go, actually, yeah, you know what, you lot are skint. Let's not charge 59 quid for a jersey. Let's not charge 850 quid for a lovely painting. Do you know what I mean? Let's do more, but at a cheaper price. Does that make sense? It needs to be more accessible to the people, because we are a working class town. Albeit I don't live there no more, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you're not going to get the local people involved if you're going to price yourself out of the market. If this was a central London club and 60 quid for a shirt and yada yada yada, there are people around there that would pay it, but those people don't exist in Yorkshire. I'm afraid. It don't happen. There's a reason I don't live there no more. Purely because of that reason, I moved down here for a job. Now, I'm not slagging it off. I'm very proud of where I come from. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I'd move back in a heartbeat if the money was available up north that I'm getting down here. Now, and it's those little details, like the baby outfit that Vic was talking about that was 50 quid and the jersey and all.
Oh, just to step in there, Fudge, just in classic Sheffield Wednesday fashion, that baby outfit was incorrectly labelled as £50 and is actually 25 if you go and ask at the counter. Fucking relabel the others! Relabel them! Bloody hell.
Wow. But yeah, I just think that there just needs to be a bit more connection to the area as opposed to somebody going, well, it's a football club, they expect to pay more. Does that make sense? Do you see where I'm going?
I see where you're going 100%. And I think, you know, it's good that he does these fans forums. I think it's maybe not, I wouldn't say healthy, because like I said before, the ones that scream and shout and stamp the feet the most are going to be the ones that are heard. But I do think that the night before the derby, it's a very tense time as it is. I think it's a bad time to do it.
Yes, it is interesting in terms of the timing, isn't it? And you know, I kind of think that it's almost, you know, Derby Eve is where, you know, we maybe have a couple of beers and just calm our nerves. You know, we probably don't want to be talking about mega serious stuff the night before such a big game. Let's talk a bit about that game then, because it's, as I say, the build up to it feels like it's got a little bit lost with everything else that's been going on, but you know, we have got a game of football to play on Friday. We could really do with getting something out of it. What are your thoughts and feelings as we go into it?
Well, I think I wasn't feeling too confident. I wasn't feeling too negative about the whole thing. I've got a really close friend of mine who's a Blade, and she's exactly the same. But then, as I've just told you guys, the breaking news that's come out of Hillsborough tonight is that Hutch is having surgery and is definitely unavailable for the derby. And that, to me now, is just like a kick in the face. I don't want to watch it. That was my last bit of hope, I think, that I was kind of holding on to, the fact that we might have Hutch to hold it up in centre mid. And now I'm a little bit, well, I'm a lot deflated.
I think it's... I mean, that brings me to a side point about how long do we give Hutch before we go, listen, mate, you are literally broken. You made a glass and I'm bored of paying you money, but I'm surely we've got it. We must get him on a pay-as-you-play contract. If we've given him a full-time one, then somebody needs shooting. But in terms of the derby, I'm not expecting much, if I'm honest. I think that, you know, there is a good potential, given the players that are out and the whole 11, 12 people that we don't have available to kick a ball that day. I'm not optimistic. If I've been optimistic, I'd say we'll get a 1-1 draw out of it.
I've got a funny feeling it's going to be a draw as well. I mean, they're not in amazing form, are they, United? I mean, they did win at the weekend in the cup, and you know, certainly their recent form has been a bit better than ours. But it's been, you know, if you kind of plot it on a graph, it's been a bit of a downward kind of decline for them for a little while now as well. So it's kind of just a matter of who's least worst, isn't it? On Friday, and you know, Jos might have something kind of up his sleeve, who knows. Following on from that very quickly then, we're back in action again on Tuesday with the FA Cup replay against Carlisle, and I'm going to do a major U-turn here after last week talking about how completely uninterested I am in the FA Cup and don't care about it. I've actually decided now that I'd like us to go on an FA Cup run. For a specific reason, and that reason is that from the fourth round onwards, every round that you reach in the FA Cup, the league match that you have scheduled has to be rearranged for a later date when we are likely to have a few more players available to us. So
you just want to finish the season in like July, is that what you want, James?
That's it, yeah. So the more games we can get postponed, you know, I'd also like it to snow quite a bit over the next few weeks. That could get a few games postponed, and that gives us a chance to actually get some first team players back before we have to replay.
It could get to the point that our pre-season is the end of this season. Can you imagine how good that would be? Just like, yeah, warm up, lads. Notts Forest at home, warm up. That could be brilliant.
So for that reason, I wasn't originally going to bother going to the Carlisle game, but I've changed my mind. I'm going to go. It's only 10 quid a ticket, which is, I think, is really, really good. I'm quite up for it now, and I'm up for a cup run. And yeah, let's see how far we can get and push back a few league games. I think it's sound logic.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to go, but I'd agree with it.
It just gives us something to cheer and shout about, though, doesn't it, as well? You know what I mean? That'd be nice. If we had a bit of a run, get round to the fifth, sixth round, something like that, we'd have a bit of a cheer, you know, we'd be able to get behind the manager a bit more. I'd be happy with that. I wouldn't be miserable. Might chuck a few players in the spotlight as well.
You realise we will lose to Carlisle. You know, this is almost
we are going to lose to Carlisle, yeah.
The way that people have talked about, oh, who do we want, Stevenage or Reading? I'm like, well, we have still got to beat Carlisle before that happens. And the last time that we did this, if you recall, was when we played Charlton in the FA Cup 3-4 years ago, and the winner of that tie got Sheffield United away, and we were already, like, you know, making plans on which pubs we're going to go to before the game and everything, and of course Charlton came and beat us. So you know, we'll have to see what happens, but yeah, a cup run I think could well do us some good. And I think that's just about it, really, because there's not much happening in terms of transfer activity. I don't think we've had anyone kind of come in or go out. I think that Jake Keane went out on loan, but I don't think anyone even remembers who he is. So that's not really a big deal. Vic, you've got a tweet of the week, I believe.
I do, yeah, but I've lost it now. I sent it ages ago. Hold on. There's been all this like drama in between about losing signal.
It was bullying Joss, wasn't it? With Joss with the piece of paper in his hand.
It was, my love. Hold on. Anyway, it was from Andy, which is @row_tweet, I think. Is it? @WROE_tweet. And he tweeted me saying, oh God, we're done, or something like that. It's all gone to pot. And he'd photoshopped the piece of paper that Mr. Luhukai was holding up and just said, Pastor Leuven's, Pastor Lee's. And I was like, yep, that's it. We're done. That's it. And I actually thought it was real at first. So had a little bit of a flutter.
It is quite convincing, isn't it? It does look quite
it's real. Pretty impressive.
I tell you what, I need the people on Twitter actually to bring me up on something. And it's stuff like that you've just spoke about there, Vic. We know what Twitter's like. Twitter is a toilet of a website, and I think Ati Newhew in the interview with The Independent brought up really well, saying that what people do, they'll see something and see how quick they can make a joke out of it. Now that is my entire Twitter, you know.
That's your life.
It's my life, and I've become so antisocial. I sit in pubs reading tweets trying to make a gag out of it. So what I've endeavoured to do now, because the last one I did was pointing and laughing at the Primark hanger, and a couple of people actually had a pop at me saying, is that where we are now? That we just, literally just anything that the club does, we just point and laugh at. So I've gone, right, when it comes to the club and the way that the club's run and yada, 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 I'm going to endeavour not to make a gag about it on Twitter. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not what we need. You're going to be a new man. I'm being positive today as well, like the new manager, and I'm not going to take the piss out of the way the club's run.
You've also got to bear in mind the fact that, you know, Primark, I think, is pretty much the last store left that lets you keep the hangers when you buy something. So I reckon about 70% of coat hangers.
Dude, take them off you, though, don't you, until you ask. Yeah.
Do they? Oh, they didn't use them. I've not bought anything for ages, but...
Yeah, you have to go, excuse me.
I have learnt as well, if you buy clothes from a supermarket but you go through the self-checkout, they don't take the hangers off you. So, you know, a little tip for you there, Sheffield Wednesday. Next time you're in the market for a hanger, get yourself to get yourself down to Sainsbury's. You can keep it for note. There you go.
Go see George. My, you know, concern about that whole thing was, why was it there? I mean, so it was in the changing room, so one of the players was using it. Now, football players aren't Primark people, are they? Is that where we are now? Are we not big players anymore?
I've heard that Liam Palmer is. I think Liam Palmer is.
It was probably we're doing a photo shoot with a shirt. Oh my God, we need a hanger, and run to the nearest cloakroom. And it's probably someone who's brought one in for Christmas do and left it in there, and that's it, innit? There was a medium.
Every work toilet has. Yeah. Every work toilet has a Primark hanger in it, doesn't it? Like I can yeah, see now our disabled toilet at work, which I use because it's a bit more spacious, has got from I can see it. I don't know where it's hanging from, but I can see every time I go in there is a Primark hanger in there, and it's been there for years. Every work toilet has one.
It is the rules.
It's a little known fact. Right, any other little bits tonight?
No, I'm out. I'm out.
Just one thing that I was going to mention, which is not really Wednesday related, but kind of is, and I just quite liked it, which was that, you know, Richard O'Donnell used to play for us, and ended up going...
Oh, I love Richard.
Yeah, he's been to a few different places, at Bristol City anyway. He's been playing at Rotherham this season, and I believe a couple of days ago he moved to, I think it's Northampton, but anyway, he's left Rotherham. Tisha. And I saw that he tweeted a fan that had tweeted him over Christmas, who'd bought his son a Rotherham United goalkeeper jersey with O'Donnell on the back and his number. Richard O'Donnell had gone back through his Twitter, found this tweet and replied to it saying, "I feel really bad that you bought this as a Christmas present. I've now left the club. So please DM me your address and I'm going to send you a signed shirt and some gloves and stuff," which I just thought was just a nice touch. And, you know, something you don't see that often, do you? Footballers kind of going out of their way. So I know he doesn't play for Wednesday anymore, but I liked it. And I thought, you know what, we need something to smile about it because we're all miserable buggers at the moment. So that might just do it for us. Right then,
maybe Fudge. Maybe if you tweet him, James, if you could tweet him and just tell him how wonderful that is, and then ask him if he's still in touch with Luke Bowden, and we're saved, aren't we? That's it. We're sorted.
Good call. Good call. Right, Fudge, if anyone wants to, I don't know, send you positive vibes through the medium of the tweetage,
that'd be great. Yeah, just send me some positive ones. Try and game me up because I've been a miserable bugger lately. My apologies. I'm on Twitter at Fudge, HMU. That's what the kids say now, isn't it?
Hit me up. Maybe what I might start doing, yeah. Fudge, is every morning tweeting you like inspirational quote of the day. Do you think that will that help or will that make
the
you more
random?
I actually,
yeah,
I
like have random quotes in front of a sunset or a float or somebody blowing out a dandelion or something like
yes.
that.
Yes,
I do have a work colleague that regularly emails me inspirational quote of the day.
Yeah, that'd be it great because Andy McKelvin regularly sends me knob gags. Say again.
It kind of makes me want to punch him. I think knob gags is probably more appropriate for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, but daily knob gag will do then. Vic, what is your
inspirational knob gags? If you.
I don't want any inspirational knob gags, thanks. My Twitter is at Victoria1867. But like I said, I'll probably be a miserable sod until probably this time next week. So probably avoid it.
I can't imagine that it'll stop this time next week, to be honest. I think that's pretty much it now.
Well, no, it depends how much we get thumped, doesn't it? But yeah, I've got to go out. Oh, God. My friend Lauren, who's the Blade, who home and away Blade, season ticket 30 years, like hardcore Blade. And it's her birthday on Friday. So I really, really, as much as I love her, I hope she has an awful birthday. I really do, Lauren. I'm so sorry. And I've got to take her out for her birthday on Saturday. So I've got to face her after it all as well. And it's just... I'm going for afternoon tea. I'm just going to shove it in her face.
I've got a strange feeling that I'm not going to see Saturday. I've kind of ruined Saturday.
No, James, don't talk like that.
I've just got a feeling that Saturday is going to be a complete write-off. I've already got my first beer in the fridge ready for 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, and then probably
are you going?
Yeah, probably heading over there about 6:30. But they're not selling alcohol to away fans, are they? So, you know, we'll probably leave it as last minute as possible. And then obviously going to go out afterwards if we win to celebrate, if we lose to commiserate. So I've just got a feeling that Saturday's not going to happen. I think Saturday in James' world is a write-off. Anyway, I'm sure that there'll be lots of silly drunken tweets from me in and around Bramall Lane. So if you want to follow me, I am at James Marriott. Follow the podcast at TWWcast. You can get all our other information and details, and you can find out how to send us an email if you wish to. Maybe you could send Fudge directly an inspirational quote of the day or a knob gag. Take your pick. You can do it all via thewednesdayweek.co.uk. Thank you for your company this evening, and we'll see you next week.
Two goalkeepers.
Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.